In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And here is not your host, this is your vice host, Andy Pate. Your vice host is here. I'm not nearly as exciting or flamboyant, but I am calm, cool, collected. And I will be doing this entire broadcast with a fly on my head. Charlie, did you see the debate last night? Did you see the fly? I thought that was hilarious. Someone on Town Hall, they had a great comment. They said, he has so much hair gel on his head, it's like a fly trap. Which is kind of true. Have you ever seen those little, what are those, Lego figurines, Charlie, with the little helmet heads? I love Mike Pence. By the way, he won. I'm going to get into that here in a bit. But it was incredible. The fly that was stuck up there. I think they interviewed the fly afterward. He apologized, said he was trying to escape, but he was stuck. Pretty sure there was this whole swarm of flies above Mike Pence lowering down a rope. Wasn't going to work. But the main thing is, folks, Mike Pence, he did great. And that means it's time for... There we go. Trump Train. Trump Train riding all the way to November. And folks, I think that we picked up some momentum last night. I think things went very, very well. We're going to look at that in the next segment. But for now, impossible question time. Yesterday's impossible question. It has been 5 years and 4 months since the average adult has done this. Charlie, what'd you guess yesterday? I know for Kamala Harris, it's not smirk. I know it's been 5 years and 4 months, actually to the day since she's done that. The answer is made a new friend. That's kind of sad, don't you think? 5 years and 4 months. I mean, I can understand this year it being hard because people aren't at work. You make a lot of friends at work. But 5 years and 4 months since the average adult has made a new friend. So there you go. It's pretty surprising. All right, today's impossible question. Give your answer on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. 58% of women say it is a turnoff if a guy owns this. It's a turnoff if a guy owns this. So here's some ideas we're given. An always broken down car. That's a good one. That's a turnoff if anyone owns that. I don't know if that's a guy-girl thing. But an always broken-down car, because I guess that's an indication that he's not upwardly mobile and not motivated in life. A gaudy necklace. Not quite sure what that means. Ripped jeans. Yeah, that's pretty 70s. I think if a man has anything that is 70s on him, that's probably a bad sign. And another one is bad shoes. Bad shoes. Charlie, got any ideas? I don't either. I'm going to say a journal. I mean, if a guy keeps a journal, ladies out there, if you want to call in, let us know. If a guy keeps a journal, is that like sexy? Because I don't think so. I think that would be something I wouldn't want if I were a lady. I don't think, because, you know, we always hear that you want the sensitive man. I don't think so. And I don't think you want the insensitive man. You just want a guy, right? You want somebody who is kind, helpful, and so forth, but strong at the same time. By the way, that's what I also have in a wife, which I love. So there you go. I'm going to go with the journal. We'll see what it is tomorrow when John is back. Okay, folks, we got a busy show today. After the break, we're going to start looking at last night's VP debate. And we're going to break down some of the clips and how Mike Pence did. And I'm going to tell you right now, let me just be honest. Donald Trump, you will have another debate. It's going to happen. Please do the Nike thing. Do the Nike thing. Be like Mike. All right? Watch your vice president in action. be like him. No, not his personality, not totally, but I'm talking the strategy. It was terrific. So we're going to break that down after the break. And then at 3:30, we're going to have Steve House come on. And I'm sure Steve's going to want to weigh in on the debate as well. In the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to have two great guests. Former Colorado Secretary of State Scott Gessler is going to join us at 4, and he has a lot to say about what's going on with voter fraud in Colorado. Really great ideas. And next, we're going to have at 4:30, this is what I've been waiting for, Susan Koshevar of the 88 Drive-In is going to call in. I don't know if you know this, but there are some big doings going on when it comes to theaters. They're crashing. All these people saying that we can do the COVID restrictions and so forth, and, oh, it's a way to save the economy. No, it isn't, folks. And Susan and I are going to talk in depth. I spent several years managing theaters. She owns a drive-in theater. We're going to talk about what the major chains like Regal and AMC, what's happening to them because of COVID and because of all these restrictions. In the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to have William Gein and Mark Smith. And that's going to be a lot of fun. So buckle up. Let's take a time out. And we're going to come right back on Rush to Reason. But first, okay, sorry. Getting used to this, folks. First, Mighty Hand Construction. Winter is around the corner. So it's a good time to look at your roof, your siding, your windows. Let's face it, folks, you're paying a lot for heat. So keep it in. Keep that heat in. Mighty Hand can help. Call 970-844-9191 or go to mightyhandconstruction.com.
It's time to stop painting over the damage and replace your siding. You'll be costing yourself more money in the long run by painting over wood rot and split boards every few years instead of committing to a full exterior redo with Mighty Hand. Micah and his team offer Diamond Coat siding, which comes with a 30-year, no paint, no fade warranty, so you'll have great-looking, durable siding for decades. You've been putting it off because you know it's a big expense. But you're not planning to move anytime soon, and you do want to feel like you're living in a nice place. Use some of that refi money to hire a local business you know will do a good job. As a full-service construction company, Mighty Hand Construction can handle any exterior work in Northern Colorado, including roofing, siding, windows, driveways, decks, and more. Ask Micah and his team for an estimate on a full exterior redo at klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
All right, if you're looking to improve your house for winter, well, you need money, right? And you need it right now. And that money right now is cheap. I'm serious. Housing values are sky high. Rates are super low. So call Kurt Rogers at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net. Go to affordable interest mortgage and Kurt will get your house ready for the winter.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Your vice host is here, Andy Pate. I'm here with Charlie Grimes. We're going to take a look at some of the debate last night. We're going to listen to several clips. But first, if you watched that debate and you got some thoughts on how it went, pro or con, give us a call here. I'd love to hear your thoughts. It's at 303-477-5600. Give us a call and let us know how you think Mike did. And do you think that Trump should maybe, keep an eye on how Mike did and do a little bit of that? By the way, folks, I don't think Trump's bad at debate. I think he's actually quite good. But I think his team gave him a bad strategy last time around. I talked about that last time I hosted. And I think the strategy that Mike did last night was a better strategy. Here's the big reason why, before we look at the clips. Donald Trump is not a puncher. He's a counterpuncher. He's not a puncher. He's a counterpuncher. And that means you wait for the other person to make their points, talk themselves out, and you do the Muhammad Ali thing. Let them fight themselves out, and then you take them down. That's what he did to Hillary Clinton. And when he did that, which was mainly in the second and third debate, he was much more effective. But when you get out of your game, when you're trying to do something, you know, and doggedly go in there and fight, which is what Donald Trump did in the first debate, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Now, thankfully, Biden didn't do well either. But I think Trump can correct his strategy going into the next debate. And I don't think Biden can. I think Biden, that's all he's got. So actually, I can't wait for the next debate. It's going to be great. But first, last night, let's take a look at several topics. And the first one I want to look at is fracking. Fracking, because I'm sorry, but wow, she imploded on this. Go ahead, Charlie.
But look, Senator Harris, you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. You yourself said on multiple occasions when you were running for president that you would ban fracking. Joe Biden looked at a supporter in the eye and pointed and said, I guarantee that we will abolish fossil fuels. They have a $2 trillion version of the Green New Deal, Susan, that your newspaper, USA Today, said really wasn't that very different from the original Green New Deal. More taxes, more regulation, banning fracking, abolishing fossil fuel, crushing American energy, and economic surrender to China is a prescription for economic decline. President Trump and I will keep America growing. The V-shaped recovery that's underway right now will continue with four more years of President Donald Trump.
That, my friends, is assault with a deadly argument. That's assault with a deadly argument, because he pinned her to the ground. She had come out and said, we're not going to ban fracking. I'm going to make it very clear. Joe Biden will not ban fracking. What a lie. And if you're going to lie, do not lie on something where people can, minutes later, I mean just minutes after the debate, start playing clips of how you lied. I think this next one is from Sean Hannity's show, and I want to give him credit. Way to go, Sean, for packaging this together. They're going to break this down for you, and it's going to take just a minute. Go ahead.
I am not banning fracking. Let me say that again. I am not banning fracking.
No more, no new fracking.
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would no. Work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated and no more subsidies for either one of those.
So first of all, I will repeat, and the American people know, that Joe Biden will not ban fracking. That is a fact.
Will you commit to implementing a federal ban on fracking your first day in office, adding the United States to the list of countries who have banned this devastating practice?
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So,
yeah, there's no question, except that you guys constantly say you're going to ban fracking. Folks, for those who have forgotten, Kamala co-sponsored the Green New Deal. She co-wrote it. She weighed in. She totally supports banning fracking. She totally supports taking away the internal combustion engine, which, ew, by the way, is the cheapest way to move a car. You can have great electric cars. They're great, but they have to cost, what is it, Charlie, about $10 million. Now I'm sounding like Joe Biden talking about COVID stats. Is it like about $10,000 more to get the same car electric, something like that? I don't know, something like that. But the average person can't afford them. They're very expensive. And here they come out, and just minutes after the debate, not just Hannity, but a number of people were putting this out and just saying, clear lie. And it's viral. It's all over the internet. Let's take a look at something else. This is going to be Charlottesville. Now, we all know the lie that these Democrats are putting out in Charlottesville. And the whole idea is to cast Donald Trump as a racist. By the way, before we even look at this, think about this for a moment. Donald Trump had been in public life, every single word he said, recorded, amplified for decades before he ever ran. Decades. He was loved by both the left and the right. People liked him. Nobody ever said he was racist until he ran for president. And then suddenly it all came out. Oh, you're racist. You know, as a white guy in a nation where basically you're told you're racist for being a white guy, I'm going to say, you know what? How about we wait until we see the evidence of that? Well, last night, Mike Pence once again had his way. I'll get right to it. What Pence did is just say, and I love this. I love how he frames it. He didn't just say you're wrong and then reel off the counterpoint, which is obvious. Folks, if you look at this in context, he clearly says that the good people who were on both sides in Charlottesville, he's not talking about the white supremacists and the KKK. They're terrible. He absolutely disowns them. But the people who are just talking about statues and flags and stuff like this, well, there's some good people on both sides trying to make their points. And he's going to make that point. Pence gets in there and says, all right, I'm going to give you the context. Before he does that, I love this. He says, I'm trying to remember. Right. He says, this is why a lot of people don't trust the media. Because you pull things out of context so that you can paint a picture, so that you can show bias, just like she just did just now. So first he frames both the questioner, the moderator, and his opponent as biased, lying, left people. And then he gave the context for when Trump did it. It was brilliant. I loved it. I loved it. My heart was beating. It was like, way to go, man. All right, next one. This is great. COVID, because this is actually, let's be honest, this has been the toughest topic for Trump. The left has, I don't know why, they've been able to successfully use this to bring down his numbers. And let me just say to all of America, shame on you. Shame on you. Are you out of your mind? This originated in China. It was spread on purpose by China because they isolated it in their province, in that, you know, Wuhan. They shut down all the travel out of Wuhan to the other provinces, but opened up travel from Wuhan to the rest of the world. Okay? They did that. Donald Trump had nothing to do with creating it, and he had everything to do with mobilizing tremendous forces against it and taking fast action to stop it. It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. I think he did a great job. And she knows she's lying on this. Let's play this one. Boom. Boom. I loved it. Something that Joe Biden knows about is plagiarism. And he's right. Everything that this ticket, the Biden, whatever, Harris ticket, I guess it's the Harris-Biden ticket now. Whatever that ticket's been rolling out has been nothing but basically a rehash of exactly what Trump and Pence have done. And he knows it. I'd love to comment on this more, but I want to get to one last thing before we go to break. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show. Let's look at the big, big one that, let's face it, Kamala blew last night, and that is court packing.
Senator Harris.
People, Susan, are voting right now. They'd like to know if you and Joe Biden are going to pack the Supreme Court if you don't get your way in this nomination.
Let's talk about packing.
You once again gave a non-answer. Joe Biden gave a non-answer.
I'm trying to answer you now.
The American people deserve a straight answer. And if you haven't figured it out yet, the straight answer is they are going to pack the Supreme Court if they somehow win this election.
I'm trying to answer you right now. No, because then she went on to say, well, let's talk about packing. You guys are trying to pack by putting, you know, this new judge on here. Hey, Trump is doing that within the law as it currently stands. None of the rules have to be changed. He won an election. He's president for 4 years. He can put in a Supreme Court justice, and he is doing it. Okay? She also complained that Trump had not, I guess, appointed any black judges yet. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know every judge that he's put out there. All I know is that he looks at qualifications. When Trump looks at a piece of paper, he rarely sees the person. That's just the way he is. He looks at who's great, not who's black. He looks at who's great, not who's white. Who's great, not who's gay, straight, anything. He doesn't care. Are you good? He wants you in place. It's that simple. Mike Pence ate her alive. Once again, they didn't answer the question. And let me leave you with this. Here's why that is so important. Because this gets down to seizing power. The reason they're not answering this question is one reason, and that is they want to simply expand the court, load it down with liberals, and then legislate from that bench. They want to seize power from the American people who have decided and voted in the past several presidents who have put that court together. And that's a big problem. All right, let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Steve House, who I'm sure is going to have quite a bit to say on that debate.
Your estate plan may have big tax implications for your loved ones. Schedule a free consultation now with KLZ's mobile estate planner, Michael Bailey. Recent changes in the tax law, like the SECURE Act, have already impacted passing on your IRA. Because of today's relatively low tax rates, you need to meet with Michael Bailey now, before the election, so you can set up your plan before things might change again. Make some wise moves before things change again. KLZradio.com/estate.
The American founders consistently talked about the importance of a moral people and a moral society. What does that mean, and should morality be legislated? Kim Munson here. Friday, millennial author Alan Thomas and I will have a conversation about this foundational question. Casper Stockham, candidate for CD7, shares his journey from Black Democrat to conservative Republican. Mortgage specialist Lauren Levy and award-winning realtor Karen Levine update us on their markets and share their perspectives on the 2020 election. All this Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., and 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560.
Want to learn how to speak clearly, effectively, and persuasively? Check out Liberty Toastmasters. Find more details at KimMunson.com. Toastmasters, where leaders are made.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. I am your vice host, Andy Pate. John Rush is taking a very well-deserved day off. I'm here with Charlie Grimes. And now, on the line, I have Steve House, candidate for CD6. How you doing, Steve?
Good, Andy. John doing all right? I mean, the last 2 weeks it's been you and me. I mean, I like it, but I just want to make sure that my man's okay.
You should send him a card on how you miss him. Well, maybe not. It's not a guy thing
so
to do.
So much I'm getting used to. I'm getting used to Andy, and you don't matter anymore. I don't know what's going on.
Well, he shall be back next Thursday. I'm just doing this Thursday. He has had a lot of stuff to run down in the mountains, and that's what he's working on. Okay. Do you mind if we really quick play your new ad?
No, go ahead.
Let's do it. Go ahead, Charlie.
Never mind. Yeah.
Steve House for Congress.
I grew up in and out of hospitals. My parents didn't have all that much, except six kids and a hell of a lot to worry about. I know too well the heartbreak of a sick child and the bills that come with it. That's why I devoted my career to healthcare, and that's why I'm running for Congress. Families need reliable health care. They should never be forced to choose between bankruptcy and the life of their child. I'm Steve House, and I approve this message.
Steve, I love that ad because it helps you connect, not just inform, but connect with the voter. What do you think?
I've heard that from a lot of people, and I felt very good about that. I think the next ad that's coming out will be equal to that, if not better. So I'm glad for that.
Well, let me ask you about strategy really quick before we get into last night's debates and all the politics and what's going on. What do you think of going after Jason Crow aggressively? I know you don't want to come off as the bad guy, especially in that district, but at the same time, we're talking about a guy who was one of those trying to impeach our president with no evidence. I mean, certainly that's got to be something that's pretty big. That was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it turns out they had nothing, and Mueller melts down on the stand, which was just epic. And your opponent, Jason Crow, was one of those leading that. Are you going to go after Jason on some things?
You know, today he got the Aurora Sentinel's endorsement.
No surprise.
And we had a good session, much like with the Denver Post. I mean, we had a really good session with them. And they were talking about, you know, me being a new kind of Republican. And, you know, they gave us... We call it an honorable mention, right? When they talk positively about you,
right?
But they endorse the other guy. But their principal reason for endorsing him was that he was on the impeachment committee, and that I'm trying to think what the other thing was. It was
stop for a moment.
Yeah.
So they said that was a good thing. He was on a committee.
Yeah.
That crashed and burned, not just because Republicans had the votes. Let's go beyond that. They had no evidence. I mean, they melted down. It wasn't just Mueller that melted down in the stand. They had nothing, literally nothing. Yeah. And now you got all this stuff coming out that is, that you know, with the William Brennan handwritten notes proving that Brennan briefed Obama on Hillary Clinton putting this whole thing together just so she could distract from her email scandal. I mean, that's in print. And they still say they support Jason Crow largely because of that?
That, and I think the other thing was they said because of his contributions to helping to resolve the issues with the pandemic.
What? Did he heal America? I'm sorry, was he doing healings down at the river? What did I miss?
I don't know. You know, when I read that, I was like, I really need to understand that because I don't understand that. I don't know what they meant by that.
Steve, every morning when you wake up, you've only been literally awake for 10 to 12 seconds. You're rubbing the sleepy out of your eye. You have already had five more thoughts on healthcare than Jason Crow does in a year. And by the way, at that point, I'm not even insulting him. I don't have that many thoughts on healthcare. This is in your wheelhouse. This is your specialty. You're an expert. You can talk circles around him. You've got a million ideas. He has none. I don't understand. Did they give any rationale for why they felt that he had done a lot on COVID?
There was no rationale in the article. I mean, I think they did make a comment about my healthcare plan, you know, creative, innovative, but also suggested that it wouldn't work. And you struggle with that because you're like, okay, I've got an editor of a newspaper who's telling me that a plan that we put together didn't work or wouldn't work, even though we have years and years and years of experience and many, many doctors and others saying, not only will it work, it's the best idea they've heard in ages, ever. So I don't know how that happens.
Did they, once again, I already know the answer, so I'm leading with the question here, but did they offer any rationale, Steve? Anything?
No, I mean, I think
just
I think
it won't
where they
work?
Are, and a lot of newspapers are, well, yeah, they want Medicare for all. I mean, they want the Denver, or they want the Democrats talking point, as you know. I mean, that's where they are. They want to talk about what the Democrats talk about. And you know what? Medicare for all. You know what people forget, Andy? They forget that most people who go on Medicare pay for about 45 years for their Medicare, and then they use it. Well, you put people on it that are 20 years old that have never paid anything, guess what's going to have to happen? The price is going to go up a lot because they haven't
one
paid
second,
for
45. One second. You cut out for a moment. Guess what's going to have to happen? What'd you say next?
The price is going to have to go up a lot.
Right.
Because you can't pay in nothing and go on Medicare for all immediately and expect to get the same benefits that the people on Medicare who paid for 45 years get. That's crazy.
Can you explain to me really quick, because I'm not a healthcare genius like you. I'm just not. All right. I know a fair amount, but you know everything. What's the biggest difference between Medicare for all and Medicaid?
Nothing. They'll be fundamentally the same. The difference between Medicaid and Medicare is how much money they're funded by. And that translates into what benefits you get. And keeping in mind, of course, that, you know, they have different aspects, right? I mean, Medicare pays for health care, but Medicaid pays for, you know, nursing homes and long-term living for the elderly. So they do pay for different things. But fundamentally, the difference is one has a lot more funding than the other, and therefore you get a lot better benefit from it.
Yeah, I know that they have different applications. What I was wondering is the mechanics of them. Do they operate differently? It sounds like they're pretty much the same.
Yeah, they're both in theory, they're both insurance companies, like a commercial insurance company would be, like a Aetna or a Cigna or somebody else. The difference is they literally outsource that function to commercial insurance companies or other players. So people think that Medicare is making payments. They're not. They're using third parties to do it for them. Commercial insurance companies. That's why a lot of the insurance companies would be perfectly happy with Medicare for all, because they'd have a whole lot more customers and they would have a lot more money to play with when they were dealing with those customers.
You know, Steve, here's what bugs me the most about this. As you know, I was raised a left winger. You're well aware of that. And the biggest reason I left the left is because they always wanted to control everybody's lives. But here's another reason I left. Their predictions never came true, and the Republicans' predictions kept coming true. And one big one is there were a lot of Republicans way back when we were putting in you know, stuff in the 60s and 70s and putting in all these new programs. And the Republicans were saying the costs on this are going to explode through the roof. Later, you had Republicans looking at Medicaid and just saying, look, what you're going to do is make everybody else's medicine that much more expensive, right? Because Medicaid isn't going to pay these hospitals and doctors at nearly that rate. Well, they still got to make their money. They still got to make their profit. These medicines and treatments and training and education, everything they go through is expensive. So where are they going to make that up? They're going to charge everybody else. And so our costs jump through the ceiling, through the roof, and our copays and all this go through the roof. Here's the thing, Steve. Everything guys like you predict happens. Everything they predict, oh, the costs will be kept low. You can, if you love your doctor, you can keep your doctor, yada, yada, doesn't happen. Am I missing something here?
Well, no. In fact, the Medicare by itself has a track record of, I think it's been, you know, the decade ahead has been predicted every decade since it's existed. And I don't think there's been a single time where the forecast was within tenfold of what the actual number was. So think about that. It's always 10 times or more higher than what it was actually predicted at. And they get it wrong every single cycle.
Yeah.
And they do. It's crazy.
Yeah. And that's, I just wish that, this drives me nuts. You know, I'm into messaging. I kind of wish the Republicans somehow, some way could start putting out some ads that just say, here's their prediction. Here's what happened. Here's their prediction. Here's what happened. I mean, on global warming, we'd crush them with that. But on all the costs of these things, they always say it's going to cost this, and it always costs many times more. They say you can keep your doctor, you can't. They say you can keep this, you can't. They say you can keep that, you can't. They say the price will be here, it isn't. Don't you want to go with an expert like Steve House who knows what happens to costs and why? And when he tells you it's going to do this, at least you know an expert is telling you in his area of expertise.
Right. I mean, me and a bunch of doctors and people that are not lawyers, you know, want to be able to put together a plan that, I mean, even if you said, okay, I'm for Medicaid care for all, how can you not ask the question, why does it cost us double what it costs every other country in the world? Why? And if you don't know the answer to that question, you don't have all the facts. You just don't.
Give me a fast answer. Give me an answer that a dumb person like me can give to somebody in their 20s.
The simple answer is when you don't have pricing, transparent pricing, Andy, it costs us an extra $600 billion in transaction fees to figure out what the price is going to be that someone pays. $600 billion. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of the problems, but that's one problem that is real, right? So if
right.
you take $600 billion off the top, that's a big number. That's like 4.5% of our GDP, right? So why do we spend that transaction fee? Because we don't have transparent pricing. If you have transparent pricing, you know, there's a price. You agree to it. You pay it. You know, somebody wands your credit card. It costs 1% to 2% instead of 17% like it does today. That's one of many reasons.
You know, getting back to the Aurora Sentinel and the Denver Post, I think most people who are in the middle recognize those two papers are not only left-wing, but hard left. They're very, very, very hard left-wing. And so for them to give you a silver medal and give Jason Crow the gold, isn't that in a way just basically saying you're the better candidate? I mean, seriously, to give you any kudos at all for two hard left-wing papers is actually saying something.
Yes, positive. We view it that way, too. I mean, quite frankly, I enjoyed both editorial board interviews. I mean, the questions were good. The exchange was good. There's just this, I mean, we're in this place in America where people really either love or hate the president. And it's much more so, I think, than it's ever been. And, you know, so when people really dislike the president, they don't, it's not rational. When people really love the president, it's not all that rational either.
No, and I think that's a combination of things. First of all, he's a very provocative man. He is. That's what he does. And by the way, I've said on air, I don't think that strategy worked in the first debate. I don't think he'll use that strategy going forward. I think he's going to do more like his VP just did. But the, you know, he brings some of that on himself. When you're picking fights all the time, and the other side is only one campaign issue, which is basically Orange Man bad, it's probably not a good idea to be provocative in that way. But I think also he's dealing with such an unbelievably dishonest press, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And dishonesty in the Democrats. I mean, we I know you want to talk about the debate. The one thing that we have to get out there is, what do you say when someone blames the president for COVID? Because we keep getting that in these debates, and I think the answer is so simple that I really hope that someone gets there, you know, and gets to the place that they need to go on that issue.
What would be your answer? Well, tell you what. No. Let's hold off on that. Let's hold off and do that in the next segment. I want to get what some of your answers would be like on that question. But first, one last thing before we go to break. I want to ask you. You said the Aurora Sentinel, they interviewed you and had a lot of questions. Is this too much secrecy inside baseball stuff, or can you give us a little insight into the kind of things they were asking?
Well, everybody goes through the core group of issues. What would you do differently with COVID? What do you want to do with healthcare? What do you want to do with immigration reform? What do you want to do about police reform or defunding the police? I mean, you know, the liberal questions tend to be more on the liberal spin, right?
Right.
You know, how do you feel about the Supreme Court? You know, isn't it wrong? You know, stuff like that. So you go through all of those issues.
So they're basically asking Steve, seriously, why do you beat puppies?
Right. Yeah, I mean, they do go through the environment as well. That's for sure.
Oh, can you give us any inside baseball? What was the question on that like? How was it structured?
Do you believe we should rejoin the Paris Climate Accord? You know, why or why not?
Why would we do that? My gosh, it's nothing but a money giveaway.
That's true. But there's actually a better answer for Republicans, which is to say, not the way it's written, first and foremost.
Right.
Because, you know, it has no enforceability. According to what the 2018 emission gap report said, was the United States is the only country that has a chance of making its 2030 goals. And that, you know, you're starting to talk about draconian stuff, right? I mean, for
right.
the 2050 goal to be met, you know, there's even talk in the background about limiting global GDP growth to 1.6%. And population growth has to slow down by approximately 2 billion people we can't have before a certain date, otherwise that causes too much carbon emission and carbon use. So the reality of it is, though, there are some good answers on what we should be doing in the environment. Using more natural gas, I mean, my gosh, between England and the United States, we have dropped our CO2 emissions by using natural gas as opposed to other fuels by a pretty dramatic amount.
Right.
You know, and there's all kinds of answers like that. I mean, there's a new technology that combines the brine water from a well, which is basically wastewater, you pay somebody $5 a barrel to get rid of.
Yeah, I know.
You combine that with airborne CO2, and you get calcium carbonate, which is a product you normally have to mine, and you eliminate emissions to a zero. It's a zero, net zero on a well. There are those kinds of things out there that are not being discussed in favor of just saying, let's ban fracking and get rid of oil and gas.
Yeah, but you got to keep in mind, natural gas is evil because you drill for it, and you hurt Mother Earth.
Because you're drilling a hole in the ground. We don't hear that. We don't hear that so much in the liberal talking points. It's more about forest fires and hurricanes. Well, okay. You know, the temperature rose in the last, since the 1960s or so, 1.4 degrees Celsius. Does that really cause forest fires? No, that's not the source of forest fires. Forest fires problems are, man has begun to live in the forest. We have electrical problems, and we have too much biomass on the floor of the forest, and it's causing these big fires. Hurricanes are actually less than they were before, and hurricanes are getting more expensive because we build everything on all these beaches. And look at the city of Miami today versus what it was in 1960.
Well, tell you what, I want to ask you a little bit more because I want to ask about what they think about Polis's plan to make us the next California on that. But let's first take a break. Can I hold you over, Steve?
Absolutely.
Okay, folks, you're listening to Steve House, candidate for CD6, who must get elected if we can bring some sanity back to Washington. And then we will be right back on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.
The number one goal of the Enchanted Kitchens design team is to create a space that fits your daily life. Yes, you want a kitchen that looks nicer and more modern. But for you, the primary value of a redesign is the difference it will make in your everyday life. You need a functional, open space so you can have a pleasant day-to-day experience in your kitchen. Above all, you want a kitchen that works. At Enchanted Kitchens, you will partner with a professional team of designers who know how to ask the right questions to help you plan out the kitchen you and your family really need. As a Rush to Reason listener, after you've visited their experience center, the Enchanted Kitchens team will schedule a follow-up meeting in your home for free to assess your space and learn specifics, like how often do you entertain and for how many. In order to get the functional kitchen of your dreams, you need the Enchanted Kitchens design team on your side. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Instead of transporting your firearms to and from the range, you can store them safely on-site at the Franktown Firearms Armory. After purchasing a firearm, the team at Franktown recommends that you shoot consistently with your own gun on the range, as well as signing up for one of their proprietary training courses or one-on-one instruction so you can develop confidence handling your gun. You can also store your firearms temporarily while you're on vacation or protect your heirloom weapons without taking up space in your gun safe at home. The team at Franktown prides themselves on developing long-term relationships with their clients. They see beginners turn into experts all the time. First-time buyers come in looking for guidance and come back because they're having fun. Learn to shoot with confidence in a family atmosphere. Store your firearms at Franktown. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for pricing. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
All right, Purefoy Chevrolet. You know, if you want to buy a new or used vehicle, they've got you covered. You don't stay in business since 1960 without knowing how to serve customers, provide great deals, and generate generational loyalty in families. Find out for yourself why so many people won't go anywhere else. Call Purefoy Chevrolet at 303-659-8311 or go to purefoychevrolet.com.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy, and after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things I could say about Purefoy Chevrolet, but at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Nancy with Metron Technology said, "We have used Business Equipment Service for many years. They are always pleasant to work with and responsive to our infrequent requests for service. We highly recommend them." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. I am your vice host on this day after the vice presidential debate. And Steve, did you watch any of the debate?
I watched every minute of it.
I'll bet that this was a funner one for you to watch than the previous one.
They both were interesting as far as I was concerned. I mean, I think, you know, the previous one was, you know, a little harder to watch, right? Because there was a lot of interruptions. There was a little bit of interruptions here. I thought the moderator in this case was actually worse than in the first one. Some of that was because, I mean, some people think she was better, but that's because, you know, the people debating were following the rules a little bit better in this case. But I still thought that her questions were premised with such a liberal spin in so many cases.
Oh, they were
terrible.
They were. And doesn't that drive you nuts? I mean, it's exactly like the Aurora Sentinel asking questions of you and Jason Crow.
Yeah, it's, you know, they have to go with, you know, asking if you're going to vote for Donald Trump. Of course I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. I mean, I you know, I'm a Republican. I think he's got the best answer. More than that, I also don't believe socialism is the right answer for us. It just isn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, you like people. Okay, and if you dislike people, you would not vote for Donald Trump. It's very simple. Steve, you're obviously nothing like Donald Trump in your manner and in some of the ways that you would treat things. But overall, you see him as doing a fine job and doing a lot for America.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, this whole concept of, you know, coronavirus, like, you know, I would have asked Kamala Harris last night if I were Mike Pence, or I would have tried to push for this answer like you did on the Supreme Court issue, which is to say, so you guys say that Donald Trump killed 210,000 people in America. How many would have died on your watch? What would you have done with the value of hindsight, of course? I mean, we all have hindsight now, but, you know, you talk about what you're going to do going forward, but you're accusing a man of being responsible for actually not being able to be clairvoyant about a pandemic. No one's lived through a pandemic in our generations. We don't know what was going to happen exactly. Yeah, there's some things that could have been done differently, but I bet you Joe Biden, when he was pushed on that issue, would say, well, I would have shut down travel to and from America in January, even though he said when it was done in February or late January that it was xenophobic and racist. You know, I want somebody to ask them, how many people do you predict would have died on your watch, and what would you have done at the time? And please be specific.
Yeah, I think, and they would have done nonsensical answers like, well, we would have done testing sooner, and we would have done, and we wouldn't have told people it's a hoax, which, by the way, he never said. He said that the media treatment of it is a hoax, and stuff like that. I just think Pence would have taken her apart. I like that. I wish he would have asked what you're wanting.
I think we need to ask that at every level of politics right now, because we get it so often. I mean, it's not about purely defending Donald Trump and Mike Pence and the administration.
No.
Remember, most of this is covered under the 10th Amendment, right?
Yeah.
If Joe Biden says I would have had a national mask mandate, well, I'm sorry, Joe, but you can't force Kristi Noem in South Dakota to have people put masks on in her state because you do not have that authority under the Constitution.
You know,
so
Steve,
it's not that simple.
You know, Steve, one of the scary things about this is that they make it very clear that if they were in charge, they would shut you down, mask you, and track you down. I mean, just control, yeah. control. And yet, at the same point, they want to look at Donald Trump and say, oh, he's a dictator. Really? Let me ask you this, Steve. I mean, over 60% of these COVID deaths have happened in Democrat-run states, less than 40% in Republican-run states. So, Kamala Harris, do you think that Trump should have been a dictator and overridden everything that these Democrat governors were trying to do?
Yeah, you know, I don't think she'd answer that. I think it's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, going back to testing for a second, you realize, of course, that technology actually had to be invented in order for the testing to be rapid testing. We didn't have it. It didn't exist. PPE, we were left short, big time short, from H1N1. It didn't get replenished. You can blame that on two presidential administrations if you want. You can blame it on Obama. You can blame it on Trump because nobody sought out enough PPE. But, you know, getting ventilators done, I mean, it's not perfect. I mean, a lot of Americans died, and that's really bad. But I think the blame game has taken on a ridiculous tone when people make it seem like, you know, they could have done it with no deaths, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. They're blaming him for something that was created in China. Right, which is just ludicrous, yeah. Unleashed by China on the world. And I'm not saying on purpose, nothing like that. I'm just saying that's where it came from. And my goodness, what do you think you're going to do? Is there some perfect, you know, pixie dust that you're going to rain down from heaven to make sure that nobody died? Look, overall, I think Trump did a great job. I think the travel ban was great. I think the public-private partnerships is actually, even more than the travel ban, those things have really impressed me.
Yeah, moving things at warp speed on the vaccine.
Right.
You know, there's for the people that are worried about it, look, the coronavirus in 2005, I mean, think about it, right? I mean, I talked to an epidemiologist today. He said, you know, there's four different coronaviruses involved in a cold. So, you know, the testing protocols themselves are difficult. I mean, you get 30%, you know, false positives. You get 30% false negatives with some tests. I mean, we don't really know what the numbers look like because the testing isn't great, but there have been coronavirus stuff around for a long time, and I think that gave researchers and people developing a vaccine a head start, and then, of course, the president pushed it and gave them the latitude to do it. We just need to be mindful of it. I don't want to
blame Democrats for something, but I also don't think they have the right to say, you know, oh, well, he screwed it up and 210,000 people died on his watch.
I agree. Hey, Steve, really quick, we got to run. How can people reach you and help you out?
House for Colorado, H-O-U-S-C-F-O-R, Colorado.com. They can donate, they can volunteer, they can make phone calls, they can send emails for us, whatever they got time for.
Folks, that's Steve House, candidate for CD6. Let's help get him in so he can help us. Thanks a lot, Steve. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Andy. All right, see you.
You bet. And folks, if you missed this hour, it'll be back on at 6 o'clock. And for tomorrow, we're going to have movies. They are best soundtracks. Until then, drive safe, be careful, and we'll see you in the next hour here on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.